you did not stay where you were, because sometimes it looks like the grass looks greener on the other side. But we're happy that you've come to where, okay. We have Pastor Gordon with us today. You have graced us with your presence. I didn't recognize you because you know how ladies are. They change from time to time. Their decor, especially the Sister Gina. Yes. And while we're talking about Gina, Sister Gina, from time to time, would come and bless us too. She's living way down in Virginia. And occasionally she would come and bless us. We're very happy for these appearances of the youth who have gone and have returned. And by the way, while service was going on, I saw people coming in. Did we have any visitors with us today? You're visiting for the first time, and you're visiting with us, whether first time or the second time. You raise your hand. You're here with us. Raise your hand. You're a visitor. I want to give you a special welcome. Okay, so you're okay. Very well. Thank you very much. I just want to say, brethren, it's good to be here at Brooklawn another Sabbath to be with you. It's always good to be with family. And by the way, you'd realize I just say family? Huh? You realize I'm now a member of Brooklawn Seventh-day Adventist Church? Oh, you didn't realize that? I'm claiming it. I am identifying myself with the Brooklawn Seventh-day Adventist Church. That's where my membership is. And guess what happened? I belong here. So do what you want to do and say what you want to say. This is where I am, and I'll be here for a long time. I'm going to try to see my face. So the topic today, the sermon title today is Identity, a Sense of Belonging. You see where I'm going now? Identity, a Sense of Belonging. Sorry to use your names, the genus. You know what? Oh, Sister Gambino. Oh, listen. It's so good to see in church today, Sister Gina Gambino. Well. That's what we do here at Brooklawn. We spot people and we put them in spots. Okay, Sister Kathy, it's good that you have brought her in today. So let me use the genus today for an example. And pardon me, do what you want to do after, but let me use this. So you notice wherever they went, they returned. Because they have identified themselves where? With Brooklawn, and their feet have a sense of belonging where? At Brooklawn in Connecticut. So wherever they go, whether they're married or they're single or whether they have accepted a job out of town or wherever, when they have and feel a sense of homecoming or longing, they come home to the family. Amen? And so this is where I'm going. Identity, a sense of belonging. The youth today, from age 10 to age 48. If you're in 50s, you're still young. And if you're in 60s, you're still young. But let me just zero on this age group, this age block here, from age 10 to 49. The next 20 years, there is a shift in age and generation. Am I right? There's going to be a shift. And this generation, this gap of generation between 10 and 49, so those who are 10 years old, the next 20 years will be 30. And those who are 20 years, the next year, they'll be 40. And those who are 49, the next 20 years, they'll be what? 69. And you can match it up going like that. I want to set a base here, and I want to get your pens and your papers and your notepad and begin to take notes as of now. There is a message that God is has bared down on this group of youth. And you are going to carry the message until Christ comes. So you have got to have a sense of identity and a sense of belonging. You have to identify yourself with a group of people who is invested with this message. And you have to belong to this group and feel belong to God as he invested in you the message of the last days. So let's go on the message. And Ruth said, entreat me not to leave thee, nor return from following after thee. Where thou goest, I will go, and where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and thy God shall be my God. A sense of identity and belonging has expressed in this text. You know, Ruth has lost her husband, and now become a widow, and was not only that, she wasn't an Israelite, and so she was saying to her mother-in-law, who was her mother-in-law? Naomi. And she was saying to her mother-in-law, since I am with you and I have identified with you as my family, wherever you go, I will go with you. And wherever you lodge, I lodge with you. And whoever your God is, that God shall be my God. That's why Revelation 21 and verse 3 said, and I saw God step down. John said, he saw a new heaven and a new earth. And John said, and I heard a great voice out of heaven saying, behold, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his. His what? His people. Identify his people, and God himself shall be whose God? Their God, identifying and a sense of belonging. I want you to follow me carefully now. Write your notes, take your notes, because we're going to go on a good ride. So we're going to identify. Identity and belonging are two aspects of one's life that bears great impact on them. Spiritually, socially, and psychologically. If you do not identify yourselves early in life, you can be led easily. Amen. Why? You will find yourself vacillating a lot. You will find yourself taking on various shapes and sizes and formations, and you know it all. Because what? You are trying to find yourself, or you have not found who you are yet. So everybody gives you a suggestion. You fall in every cracks and crannies and every suggestion because you have not found your identity. You not even know who you belong to. So you get into what is called a crisis, identity crisis. And peer pressure. Watch a child who has identified themselves and feel a sense of belonging. You don't have to be succumb to peer pressure. You don't. They stand flat-footed and they go anywhere. You will find yourself going from place to place. So with belonging, if one does not find have a sense of belonging, they will go from people to people, place to place, seeking acceptance and a place of belonging. The feeling of abandonment and unwantedness and the lack of self-worth can lead to a plummeting self-esteem. That is to say, low self-esteem. When you don't feel a sense of belonging, that happens in school a lot, especially big group of social gatherings. Somebody want to feed. That's why you have cliques and groups. Because I identify myself with this group and I feel belong to this group. And it's a very big thing in our social development, also in our spiritual development. Who do you identify yourself with? Who do you belong to? Are you suffering from spiritual abandonment and a lack of identity? In this day and age when we have so much sources of spiritual information, it is very easy to lose your identity, thus lose your sense of belonging. For this reason, God has identified his church and the people who belong to him. Amen. And I want you to get that straight. God, in this day and age, God has identified his church and the people who belong to him. His people is called the church. With so much churches, or so many churches and denominations, how can you identify God's true church? How can you identify God's true people? These are the following identifying marks of God's true church. One, she keeps God's commandments, including the seventh day Sabbath. Two, she has the gift of prophecy, that is to say, the testimony of Jesus Christ. Three, she is commissioned to proclaim the end time message, the three angel messages of Revelation 14 and verses 6 to 12, since 1844. Fourth, she is referred to as the remnant church. You get them? Let's see how we can fish this out of the Bible. Where in the Bible can we find these identifying marks of God's true church? And follow me carefully. If I don't get through this by 1 o'clock, we're going to do it in a second part, but we're going to go through it. Where in the Bible can we find these identifying marks of God's true church? We find them in the book of Revelation. What book? And I want you to use either your phone to write or your phone to find scriptures. So we're going to see scriptures today. So, and they are in the foyer there, they are Bibles. So don't limit yourselves to your phone. And don't limit yourself that I did not take my Bibles to church. There are Bibles in the foyer there. So you can grab one and follow me in your scripture, because we're going to use scriptures today to prove our findings. So we find these, we find them in the book of Revelation. And since the book of Revelation describes the last day's events for us, that is why, brethren, a child from age 10 at this moment, or a person from age 10 at this day, this psychological moment, age to 59 to 49, has a special investment of the message to proclaim in these last days. And then the ones who are below 10 are to be taught so that they can also be identified and identify, can be identified with this message and with this church and with the God's people. And so they can propel on the message also. And so they will have the next 20 or 30 or 40 years to do so, as the message is invested in their hearts. In order for us to identify these truths, the identifying marks of the true church, we have to study the scripture by using this principle found in Isaiah 28 and verse 10. For it says, turn with me there, and I want you to repeat with me, Isaiah 28 and verse 10. When you say, just when you find it, I'm going to give some time to Isaiah 28 and verse 10. All right? When you find it, just raise your hand. When you find it, raise your hand. And I want you to follow me now, because you're going to help me to preach this sermon today. And that's how you're going to learn it. You're going to help me to preach it today. Come on up. What the Bible says, for precept must be what? Upon precept. Precept upon precept, and what? Line upon line, line upon line, and what? Here a little and there a little. So this is a principle upon which we are going to use to identify those identifying marks of God's true church. So let's go. Turn your Bibles with me to Revelation chapter 12. Revelation chapter 12. It's embedded right in this text, but we have to decode it. Huh? Revelation chapter 12 and verse 17. Follow me now. And the dragon was wroth with the woman and went to make war with the remnant of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. So we are going to use the principle of studying the Bible, precepts upon precepts, line upon line, here a little, there a little, to find what the identifying marks of God's true church. Let's look at the scripture. Let's find some key symbols in the text to decide, to decode them. One, what's the first one? What's the first symbol? Dragon. What's the next one? Woman. What's the third one? What's the third one? Remnant. And the fourth one is what? The commandments. We're going to get to seed. Commandments. And what's the fifth one? testimony. Then we are, so you remember I asked about 10 to 49? That's the seed. Let's decode these now. So who is referred to as dragon in the Bible? How do you know that? How do you know that? Let's use precepts upon precepts, line upon line, here a little there. So go to Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9. Revelation chapter 12 and verse 9, the same chapter. And there was war where? In heaven. And Michael and his angel what? Fought against the dragon. And the dragon what? Fought against his angels. And prevailed not, neither was their place found anymore in heaven. And what? And the great dragon was cast out, the old who? Serpent called the devil and Satan, which, what he did? He deceived the whole world, and he was cast out on the earth. And his angels were cast out with him. So, who is the dragon? Satan. All right, so hold up and write it for me, please. So, we have seen the dragon is known to be Satan in the script. And he's the deceiver. So, let's move on to the next symbol is woman. Who is the woman and who the woman is referred to? So let's see that. We say it, but let's prove it. In the scripture, it used the figure of a marriage relationship to symbolize the close union between Jesus and his people. So let's go to Isaiah 54 and verse 5. Precepts upon precepts, line upon line, here a little, there a little. Follow me now. For thy maker is thine husband, and the Lord of hosts is his name, and thy redeemer, the Holy One of Israel, the God of the whole earth, shall he be called. So, for thy maker is thine husband. Okay, husband, ring that out in your head. Let's go Ephesians 5. Oh, the text was Isaiah 54 and verse 5. And we're going now to Ephesians chapter 5 and verse 23 to 32. Let's go. For the husband is husband. Come on now, follow me now. For the husband is what? Are you there with me? Follow me now. For the husband is the head of the wife. So in order for, if there's a husband, there's a wife. Huh? For the husband is the head of the wife, even as Christ is the head of the church. And he is the savior of the body. Therefore, as the church, the woman, as the church, his wife, as the church is subjected unto Christ, so let the wives be to their husband in everything. I want us to note that. I want us to note this. The woman in the Bible, woman in Bible prophecy represent a church. Note that. Woman, when it comes onto Bible prophecy and it makes mention of woman, it refers to church, the body of God's people. But there are two churches. You have the pure church and the unpure church. Make that note, make note of that. So there are two churches, the pure church and the unpure church. Some people may say impure. So Revelation chapter 19 and verse 7 to 9, let us be glad and rejoice and give honor to him, for the marriage of the Lamb is come. I'm now referring to the pure church. For the marriage of the Lamb is come, and his wife hath made herself ready. And to her, notice it says, to her. And to her is granted that she should be arrayed. How? In fine linen, clothed, clean, and white. Make note of that. God's true church, notice how God's true church is dressed and appeared or has appeared in the scripture. It is pure and white. And I don't want to lose the fact that we are trying to identify the mark of God's true church. Don't lose us. Don't lose sight of that. God's true church is described as one who is dressed in fine linen, clean and white. For the fine linen is the righteousness of the saint. Where do they get the righteousness? From Jesus Christ. The blood of the Lamb. And verse 9 says, and he saith unto me, write, blessed are they which are called unto the marriage of the supper of the Lamb. And he saith unto me, these are true saints of God. Let's look at the impure church. Let's look at, I just stop you a little bit to compare both churches so you can identify the true church in its purest sense. The impure church or the impure woman is symbolized by as called the apostate church. The what church? Apostate church. An apostate means that it's apostatized. It has backslide, if you want to put it that way. Or it has gone back into sinful reproach, a sinful lifestyle. And listen, and look how Jeremiah said, I have likened the daughter of Zion to a comely and delicate woman. Jeremiah chapter 6 and verse 2. Isaiah 51 and verse 16. And I have put my words in thy mouth, and I have covered thee in the shadow of mine hand, and I will plant, and I will plant the heavens and lay the foundation of earth, and say unto Zion, thou art my people. But if you go into that context of the text, you realize that God said these words to Jeremiah and Isaiah when Israel apostatized. He's trying to claim them. So Revelation chapter 17 and verse 3 to 6, it says, so, he's still describing the impure church. So he carried me away into the spirit, into the wilderness. And I saw a woman sit up on a scarlet colored beast. Watch those colors. Full of the names of blasphemy, having seven heads and 10 horns. And the woman was arrayed in purple and scarlet color and decked with what? Gold and precious stones and pearls, and having a golden cup in her hand, full of what? Full of what, church? Say, church, say. Full of what? Abomination and what? Filthiness and what? and of her fornication. So the impure church carries some sense of outward appearance of beauty, identifying with gold and precious stones and all these things. And verse 5 says, and upon her forehead was name written, Mystery Babylon the Great, mother of harlot and abomination of the earth. And I saw the woman drunken with the blood of the saints and with the blood of the martyrs of Jesus. When I saw her, I wondered with great admiration. It is for this reason, brethren, as Seventh-day Adventists, we do not encourage our members to deck off in jewelry, because we don't want you to identify yourself with the untrue, impure church. It's for this same reason, because the true church has no extraordinary outward appearance, but is white linen, pure, simple, no outward appearance, but inward character, beaming out. That's what God wants his people to do, to grow in spiritual character, not outward adorning. I don't want to get off handle now. Let's go. The next symbol that we need to identify is what? What's the next one in the text? Revelation chapter. Remnant. So we have identified the dragon. We identified the woman. We now come into remnant. The last set of people. Remnant. What remnant means? Remnant means the last set of people who was given the last day message to the last generation up till Christ's return. So I want to say it again. The remnant refers to the last set of people who was given the last day message to the last generation up to God's return, up to Jesus' return. I don't know if it's, but I am saying, brethren, that ages 10 to 49 are the youth arm of the church who would have been infested with the last day's message to carry out the message to the end of time. Logic would have said that, because you'd have had more years if the Lord doesn't take you, and if the Lord doesn't come, you'd have had more years to take the message, to carry on the baton, when the older persons would have been in their 70s now, the persons who would have been their 60s, if the world should last the next 20 or 50 years, these are the people who would have carried out the message, and they are referred to as the remnant. So you see how, brethren, we need to begin to invest the message in our youth, because they would have been, God would have prepared them for the message in the last days. So the assumption is that the gospel was given to the church in the early days of Earth's history. Adam and Eve were the first members of God's church. The plan of salvation was preached, and the church grew. God's people throughout the ages passed the baton to the next generation until it comes to God's people like you and me in these last days. Especially the ones who keep God's commandments. So if you were to trace it, brethren, Adam and Eve got the message. Yes, they got it. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, between thy seeds and her seeds. And it shall bruise his heel and it shall bruise thy head. That's in that text alone is the hope of salvation for Adam's fallen race, like you and myself. And ever since Adam and Eve got that message, the message has been passing down. What's the message? What's the message? Is the message is about God's plan to save the fallen human race. That's what the gospel is all about. That's the mission of the church. No matter what we do around here, brethren, that's the mission, is to take the gospel to a dying world so that the world will know that there is hope through Jesus Christ. So in the last days, the remnant, so we talk about the remnant. Let's define remnant a little more. So if you go to the store and you want, you see a nice piece of cloth, material you want to do something, all right? And you said, do you have this piece of, I brought this sample here and I got it last week. Do you have any more of this? And the store clerk will say to you, oh, let me just check. And they go and he said, oh, I just have the remnant of it. What would that suggest to you? Is the last piece on the big roll? Huh? You may have gotten the first portion of it once upon a time, but you go back to get another piece of it, you'd have seen only the remnant. And the remnant may be just a yard long or 2 feet long, whatever it is. But it is, no matter how long it is, no matter what it looks like, it is still the remnant. It matches with the first piece on the roll. It is the remnant. So the gospel of salvation, brethren, no matter where it goes, from Adam to when Christ comes, is the same one message, the message calling us to salvation through Jesus Christ. That's the mission. And the remnant are the last people on earth history to bring off that message. The remnant is also commissioned to preach the three angels' message of Revelation chapter 14 through 17, called people to fear God. One, it announces Babylon is falling, and we are living in the judgment hour. Those are the three angels' messages. We are called, it is calling people to fear God, the God of heaven and earth, the creator of heaven and earth. And it is a call, an announcement that this world and its false system is falling. It is also a call to the judgment hour. How do we know that? How do we know that when is the judgment hour? I'll tell you in a while. So the remnant of the people who are God's commandment-keeping people in the last days. All right, so next thing to define, and we're getting back to that commandment piece, that message piece, the last day's message. The next piece to define is the commandments. Commandment. Let me see the hands of those who know what this commandment is about. Raise your hand. You know what commandment is this. Raise your hand. You know what commandment is this. Okay, put your hands down. Those who do not know, raise your hand. So you all know. You all know. You're just shy. We are here to learn. So let's go to Exodus 20 and verses 1 through 7. We're not going to go through all of that. But that's where you'll find the Ten Commandments. Remember using the principle? Line up in line, here a little, there a little. The Ten Commandments. So Ten Commandments is found in Exodus 20, verses 1 through 17. Talks about we should not have no other God before thee. We should not worship any graven image. We should not bow ourselves down. We should remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. We should not kill. We should not steal. We should honor our parents. And it goes on. Ten Commandments. And I want us to read Deuteronomy chapter 6. And this is a crunch of the matter, brethren. And if you need to tell your children, those who have young children, take them to Deuteronomy chapter 6 daily and remind them of this. Deuteronomy chapter 6 and verses 1 through 9. It says, now these are the commandments, the statutes of the judgment which the Lord thy God commanded thee to teach you, and that ye might do them in the land whither thou goest to possess it, that thou mightest fear the Lord thy God and keep all the statutes and his commandments and which I commanded thee, and thy son. And thy sons all the days of thy life, and that they and thy days may be prolonged. Hear therefore, O Israel, and observe and do it, that it may be well with thee, and that ye may increase mightily, as the Lord God of the fathers have promised thee in the land that floweth with milk and honey. Hear, O Israel, the Lord God, the Lord our God, is one God. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul, with all thy might. And these words which I have commanded thee this day shall be in thine heart. And thou shalt teach them. Come on now, this is it now. And thou shalt teach them diligently, not just flippantly. Teach them diligently unto thy children, and shall talk of them when thou sittest in thy house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. So in every move, every motion, the commandments of God should be ringing out. Amen. Obedience to God's commandment should be ringing out. And thou shalt bind them, and thou shalt bind them before a sign, and they shall bind them for a sign upon thine head, and they shall be a frontlet between thine eyes, and thou shalt write them upon the post of the house and on thy gates. God means this is a serious business for God. When you walk out your gate, I must see it. It must be ringing out in your heart, and you must be taught to your children, to all generations. As long as you're alive, you must be taught the commandments. So important they are. Save you as long as you want to live. As long as you want to live. It is to be taught because it is your life. Sustenance. Spiritual life sustenance. And that is why Ecclesiastes 12 and verse 13 says, let us hear the conclusion of the whole matter. Fear God and keep his commandments. For this is the whole duty of man. For God shall bring every work into judgment with every secret thing, whether it be good or whether it be evil. Everything gonna come up. No matter how you slick, it's gonna come up, float up like oil. Gonna come, and it's gonna either be for you or against you. I know I've lost you. We're still identifying the identifying marks of God's true church. That's why God says, Jesus says, if you love me, keep my commandments. John chapter 14 and verse 14 and 15. Commandment keeping is one of the identifying marks of God's true church. Did you get it? Are you with me? Commandment keeping is one of the identifying marks of God's true church, which also includes the seventh-day Sabbath, keeping of the Sabbath. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work. But the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work. Thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, nor thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy strangers within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made the heaven and the earth and the seas, and all that is in them, and rested on the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the seventh day and hallowed it. Important. Commandment keeping is one of God's identifying marks of God's true church. The next thing we need to decode out of that text is testimony. Testimony. What is the testimony of Christ? Revelation chapter 19 and verse 10. I fell at his feet to worship him, that John was saying. And he said unto me, see, thou doest it not. An angel came to John, and John thought it was God. And he said, oh, let me bow down and worship. And the angel said, no, don't do it. I am thy fellow servant and of thy brethren that have the testimony of Jesus. Worship God. For the testimony of Jesus Christ is the what? Spirit of prophecy. Let's move on some more. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 12. Here is the patience of the saints. Here are they that keep the commandments of God, and the faith or the testimony of Jesus Christ. So, identification number two, the gift of prophecy is another identifying mark of God's true church. God's true church is endowed with spiritual gift of prophecy. It is the only church on this planet Earth who is able to give you a panoramic view into eternity by prophecy. Identity is important. Also, it's a sense of belonging. This is to say, the remnant church, the group of people from age 10 to 49, and all of us who have accepted the gospel of Jesus Christ, will be people of prophecy, and will understand prophecy. They will teach. The true church, the remnant church, will teach prophecy. They will have among them the revelation of truth that God will give them through the spirit of prophecy. This gift has enabled the church to study what we call the 2300 days prophecy and know what time the judgment hour has begun. If you come to the prayer meeting on Tuesday night, you'll have a sense of what we're talking about, because we are going through this presently, the 2300 days prophecy. The remnant church studied the prophecy and is endowed with the gift of prophecy and is able to tell where we are, where we're coming from, where we are, and where we are going through the gift of prophecy. What a church! So the gift of prophecy is another identifying mark of God's true church. The remnant who bears the three angels' messages to the world is another identifying mark of the true church. The status of remnant. So we can read this text this way. Let's go back to Revelation chapter 12. In verse 17. And Satan was wroth with the church and went to make war with the remaining of her seed, which keep the commandments of God and have the gift of prophecy to foretell the judgment and call people to true worship, to worship God, to announce the falling of Babylon and the false worship, the false system of worship. That's how we can read a text. We have seen from Bible prophecy that God has clearly identified his true church in the last days. What are the identifying marks? One, she keeps God's commandments. Amen. She has the spirit of prophecy through the gift. She has the spirit of prophecy, that is to say, the gift of prophecy. She's a remnant. That's the third one. She's a remnant in the last days. That is to say, she is the one who carries a message in the last days. She is commissioned to carry the three angels' messages to every kindred, tongue, people, announcing the judgment hour, which began in 1844. What is the stranger's message? Let's go back to Revelation chapter 14, and I close after this. That will be part two of my message. I'm just introducing it and then wrap up. Revelation chapter 14. Revelation chapter 14 and verse 6 says, and when you go home, read through the whole chapter, you get the context. And I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach to them, unto them that dwell on the earth. What is the everlasting gospel? Salvation through grace. What is it? Say again, sis. The means of salvation. Any other thought? You're not wrong, but I need some other input. What is the everlasting gospel? Okay. Yes, Sister Cheryl. Thank you, Brother Oni. Yeah, Sister Cheryl. You want? No, we don't do that in our class. Yes, Sister. The plan of salvation. As simple as that. The plan of salvation. That's the everlasting gospel. It must be preached to every. So hear what it says. And I saw another angel flying in the midst of heaven, having the everlasting gospel to preach unto them that dwell on the earth, to every nation, kindred, tongue, and people. Everybody. Whether you're black or you're white, whether you're dunce or you're bright, whether you're a failure or you're a loser, whether you are you're tall or you're short, whatever you are, the gospel is for you. I thought I'd hear the church say, hallelujah, praise the Lord. The gospel is for everybody. And that's what is the mission today in the last days. The gospel to preach into all the world, saying with a loud voice, fear God and give glory to him, for the hour of his judgment is come. For the hour of his judgment is come. And worship him who made the heaven and the earth and the sea and the fountains of waters. And there followed another angel saying, Babylon is fallen. Babylon is fallen, that great city, because she made. You notice it said she made. If you go to Revelation chapter 17, it's the same mystery Babylon, the apostate church. It's called Babylon. It gathered people into false worship, and that false system of worship is falling. Now all nations to drink of the wine of the wrath of her fornication. And the third angel followed, saying with a loud voice, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead and on his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of the wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, and he shall be tormented with fire and brimstone in the presence of the holy angel and the presence of the Lamb. And it skipped down and it said, verse 12, here is the patience of the saints. Here are they which keep the commandments of God and have the testimony of Jesus Christ. The testimony of Jesus Christ is the spirit of prophecy. How does the church know about the judgment hour? When the gift was given to Daniel, the skill was given to Daniel to interpret and understand the 2300 days prophecy, and Daniel passed it on through prophecy, and the church gained that same gift today to understand that in 1844, the 2300 days prophecy ended with a misinterpretation that Jesus was coming, but it's not that Jesus was coming. Jesus was moving from one phase of his ministry into another phase. And so with this in mind, brethren and friends, the church is invested with the gift of prophecy. So the church knows this. And we can identify ourselves with this church because this church has the identifying marks of God's church. Brethren and friends, how do you feel about this now? How do you feel about this? Let me get it another way. What do you think about this? Do you think this church, and so what church is this? The question, so Pastor, what church is this? So a letter was sent out, and this is a true story. Well, a letter was sent out and addressed to the commandment-keeping people. Just a letter. It was sent out in Washington, D.C., and the postman got it and he tried to go around and ask, where is this? To the commandment keeping church. And so he went around and somebody said, let's do a little more thinking on this. And when they think it through, he said, oh, take it to that church down the road. They keep the commandment, they preach a commandment. And that church was a Seventh-day Adventist church on the corner of a street somewhere in Washington, D.C. What group of people today proclaim the three angels' message, telling people today that the judgment hour has begun? What group of people uphold God's commandment, including the seventh day Sabbath? What group of people is existing in the last day, carrying out the same message that Adam and Eve got until this time? What group of people? I would say, without any shadow of a doubt, that the Seventh-day Adventist Church. The Seventh-day Adventist Church is the church that matches all of these identities. When you, if you want to prove it, match it with all the other churches around. And so, thank God. Thank God. I have an identity. And I belong to the true church. My young friends, if you're in doubt, today, let me hope that this message has cleared your doubt, that you are at the right place. You're in the right family. You don't have to be running to and fro anymore. You have now found your identity, and you have now belong to the right place. God wants to claim you as his people. He wants to dwell with you. And when he dwells with you, brethren, he wants to heal you and wants to save you. And so as a result of that, we can surely say, to God be the glory, great things he hath done. We are the commandment-keeping people. We have the gift of prophecy. We are the church in the last days. We are commissioned with the three angels' message. Now we have the identity. Now we have the identities of God's true church in the last days. Will you not find your spiritual identity and have a sense of belonging? God wants to call you his own. Like Ruth says, entreat me not to leave thee, nor return from following after thee. For whither thou goest, I will go. And where thou lodgest, I will lodge. Thy people shall be my people, and my God shall be thy God. Thy God shall be my God. And God wants to dwell with his people, a call to his people, a sense of belonging. He says, the tabernacle of God is with men, not with goats, nor animal, nor with trees, nor with the galaxies. He says, the tabernacle of God is with men, and he will dwell with them, and they shall be his people. Sense of belonging. And God himself shall be with them and be their God. Identity and belonging, my friends. I want to say in closing, hold fast. Hold fast to the profession of your faith without wavering, without doubting. Let not doubt come and take and waste your time. Don't doubt. Don't spend time doubting. Spend time searching and proclaiming the message. Keep your eyes on Jesus. My next message will be the three angels' message. That's identity, a sense of belonging, part two. Well, you have heard the identification of the true church. You have seen it from the Bible. You have seen it in Revelation chapter 12. And you have used precepts upon precepts, line upon line, to decode the symbols there. And so you have now heard about the good news of salvation. The church is here to proclaim the everlasting gospel. That's why we're here, brethren, at 250 Brooklawn Avenue, to proclaim the everlasting gospel, to tell men and women to keep God's commandments, and to make ourselves available for the spirit of prophecy to beam through us so we can help others to understand where we are coming from, where we are, and where we will be going. And that will boss us up while passing through this wilderness of war. Today you're here and you have a little doubt about your church. You're saying, Pastor, I've heard the call. I've heard the message. I think it was clear to me. You have a little doubt and you want me to pray for you today. Bow your heads, everyone, everywhere. Pray for somebody. You have doubts about your church. You want me to pray for you. Just bow your heads. Bow your heads where you are and pray for somebody. You're here today. You have doubt about whether or not this is a true church, whether it's preaching the true message, because there are so many churches coming up, so many messages coming to WhatsApp, Instagram, all kind of TikTok. You name it. You feel confused and you say, oh, I'm doubting. There's a little bit of doubt about my church. But I'm thankful that you have said this message. I know identify the marks through scripture. And you're here today. You want me to pray for you. I have some doubt. Listen carefully. You have some doubts. And you want me to pray for you so you can strengthen yourself, walking with God's people, and identify yourself with God's people. Feel a belonging with God's people. Raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Raise your hand. Raise your hand. You have some doubts. Raise your hand. I want to pray for you. Raise your hand. Raise them. Raise it. I want to pray for you. The next category of call is that you are here today. And you have not yet given your heart to Jesus Christ because you think you're so confused about the Christian life today, which church to be at. But you have heard distinctly the identifying marks of God's true church. So you said, I have decided to follow Jesus, no turning back. And you're here, you have not yet been baptized. You have not yet given your heart to Jesus Christ. And you want to be saved with God's people. You want to identify with God's people. You want to feel belonging to God's people. Raise your hand. Just raise your hand. Bow heads. You have not yet been baptized. You have not yet been baptized. You have not yet been baptized. Raise your hand. My last call. You have heard the identifying marks of God's true church, and it is your desire to continue to proclaim the everlasting gospel, keeping God's commandment, keep it in your heart, put it on your doorpost, teaching your children, your next generation to the next generation. If you're commissioned to do that, brethren, it's your desire, your commission to continue to preach everlasting gospel. Stand with me, because that's what I want to. Stand with me. Stand with me where you are. Stand with me. Stand with me. Let us pray. Father God, we have heard thy call, Lord Jesus, and we have responded with joy. We have seen how you have identified your true people, commissioned with the everlasting gospel in these last days. I pray, God, that you may reach down and touch the church worldwide, because we have identified that your church is not a little church in a little corner on a street. It has a worldwide mission to bring the everlasting gospel to every kindred, tongue, and people. And that is why, Lord, we think and we believe that the Seventh-day Adventist Church has its membership
all over the world, and it's identified as a worldwide church. So God, as we are here at 250 Brooklawn Avenue, we are standing today with a new commission to understand that we as a church have the gift of prophecy, to understand that we need to teach men and women and all the generation about keeping God's commandments. We, oh Lord, discovered that we need to have the gift of prophecy. And that is not what I think and how I feel. It is a gift from God given to his church to announce the end time events, the judgment hour, falling of Babylon, and the call to worship the true and living God. Bless us, Lord. We pray for those who are having doubts. Oh, Lord, help them that their doubts will be cleared today as they have listened. We pray, Lord, for those who have not yet surrendered their life to you, Lord, help that they may surrender their lives to you so they can feel a sense of identity and belonging into your church, and that they can say, I belong to Jesus. Jesus belongs to me, not for the years and times alone, but for eternity. Bless us, O Lord, and bless the hearing words so they can be put into practice. And we now have the certainty that we can go on the street to proclaim the everlasting gospel because we have heard it, we have seen it, and we need to live it. Hear us, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Please remain standing for the closing exercise.
Our closing hymn is 306. 306.
Since you belong to the Lord, sing.